Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast, today is the 29th or 8th?
8th.
28th of January. First month is over.
Which is crazy. This was the fastest January I can ever remember in history.
January is usually slow as hell, yeah.
This January went by in 8 days. Like, this is the fastest January I can remember ever.
Yeah, so much going on with the inauguration, the Capitol. It's like every day some other crazy shit happening, man. Shit. And it's dumb cold right now outside.
Yep, it's 25 degrees outside.
Have you been outside today?
Hell, I went outside last night.
Yeah, I went outside.
Did Inca go outside? It's for real winter time where Inca lives at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the negative.
Yeah, y'all got the minus sign next to your shit. I went out today. The temperature was literally dropping. You could feel that shit getting colder and colder. I went to one of my favorite Spanish restaurants to get some food, and honey was like, "Papi, muy frío." Like, yes, mommy.
You're so problematic.
That's what she said. That's my people's. Sean is he doesn't know if he's going to make it today. He's got a bunch of stuff on his plate. But if he can, he'll pop in. If not, we'll troop on without him and keep this train going. How's everybody today?
I'm good today. I'm good today. It's been a decent week. I feel like, I don't know if I used this term on air, but I think I might have said before, January is always, even when I was still working full time, January is like a weird month.
Yeah, definitely is.
You're so burnt out by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christmas break seems like a long break when you're going into it. But once you're really in it, it feels like it went by really quickly. And nobody's ready to get all the way back up to normalcy January 4th. If you tapped out. If you had still been working and you only took like a long weekend, then maybe. But if you tapped out for like a week or better.
It takes a while to get back up and going.
It takes a while. So this year, because I'm the benefit of working for yourself and also like having a little, as our Bevy would say, which by the way, side note, Bevelations is available now. I don't think we've said that yet.
Yeah, we talked about it right before it was coming out, but we didn't talk about it when it actually
Bevelations is available now. But as Bevy would say, for a person with a little coin, I had the luxury of being like, yeah, so I'm not really working in January. Like I'll do stuff that I committed to before the end of last year, but I'm not taking on no new work. I just to give my brain time to
readdress.
I think I told you, like, now that writing is the main thing, I was just burnt out even like creatively. I had to find another outlet to tap into. So this week I felt a little normal. Like it took a minute because I was really like, I wasn't trying to check no emails. I wasn't trying, and people were reaching out and I was like, fuck, I'm going to miss
it. Whatever.
Like it was that kind of thing. I was like,
yeah, I'll get back to you, nigga, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, that kind of like I was talking to somebody actually today, a friend of mine, Toya, we used to work together. And I was like, yeah, man, I don't miss like being in, like working in a corporate
at all.
Company, like at all. I actually feel bad. I was telling her, I actually feel bad for a lot of my A&R youngers because it doesn't feel like these niggas are having no fun with this gig because there's so many parameters on it now with the research and, you know, the kind of, can I think of the term?
Also, the timelines are so short. Like
I'm saying, the turnaround quick. You sign something today and motherfuckers want their money back tomorrow. Like, you don't get time to develop shit. You don't get to do what you feel. You only got to do what the person above you, which tends to be, you know, not trying to be politically incorrect, but tends to be somebody who's not of the culture, you know, telling you what to do.
Right.
I feel bad for a lot of them because I just feel like they're not doing what they signed up to do. There are exceptions to the rule, but there are a lot of them that are not getting to do with this. So I feel pretty good.
I feel like that. that's kind of what drove me out of the building on the marketing side. My mom always reminds me that when I went to Epic, I said that that was going to be the last building.
The last gig.
Yeah. Because, you know, I would be told that I need to put together a release plan for, you know, a release in like a month for music I hadn't heard that wasn't turned in. You know what I'm saying? Like, how am I supposed to do that?
Yeah.
So it's just like the pressure with the numbers. You know, there was a time where we could take months setting up an album and take months to put singles out. And I know that now that feels really slow. Album cycles were a year. You could do dope promo. You could do dope teasers. Like, you could do creative shit.
But you know what? It's actually not really slow, because the ones that are the big, again, these are big artists. They have
big pop stars. Their album cycles are still a year.
Exactly. Yeah. Drake, Kendrick. Kendrick's album, 2-3 years, actually.
Yeah, Rihanna been riding off of that last album for how long now? So shit.
Four going on five. I think Anti came out in 16, I think. 15 or 16. So, again, you know, but some of these newer guys, it's like, man. So, anyway, I don't want to belabor that point. But needless to say, yes, I kind of understand what you're saying about not being pressed and all that stuff.
It's been I had to be at home and get on a goddamn label conference call,
every day they be on these Zooms. All day, every day.
Son.
All day on Zoom, talking to these niggas.
I wouldn't have made it. It's hard enough doing the shit when you... At least... So, Eko, we can tell you this. At least when you're in the office environment is one thing. Like, everybody going to the meeting. You know, everybody. You see people going by your desk, get your little binder, you go in, you get your little reports, do shit like that. If I was in my house, I had to sit up here and do the shit.
On Zoom calls?
Damn.
Anyway, how are you, Inca, by the way? You talking about our shit. You like, I don't care. How you doing?
I'm good. I just choked on some red wine. Sorry about that.
Nah, it's all good.
But if that's any indication of how this week is going.
Drinking.
They talk about the terrible twos, but it's really the three and a half where I'm like,
because
what the fuck is going
on? Because she's starting like a level of independence now.
Very much so. And she's in a bit of a screaming phase.
Oh, which, the screaming shit.
Not trying to hear that.
The screaming shit.
Not trying to hear that shit.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me, but it definitely wasn't twos. It was definitely threes and fours when I was like, what's going on, babe? What's going on? What the fuck is this? What happened to all that little cute shit?
You're like, what part of the game is this?
Yeah, what is this shit?
She's so cute and innocent.
Yeah,
like,
what the fuck
3 months ago.
Bullshit. You know, so.
That's hilarious. I noticed that Kavia James is in her terrible twos right now. She be shutting her parents down so
really?
Crazy.
Really? And LeBron not even there at the time.
Yeah. So Gabby has posted two videos. One, where they were watching TV. One, Kavia's eating some snacks. And this was me all day. My mother will attest to this. And, you know, she's like, can I have one? Can I have? Kavia's like, no. And then, like, she's trying to reach over. Kavia's, like, moving the shit
like,
over.
Chill, B. These
and
are
then,
my,
like,
these are my to, fucking potatoes.
She literally, like, rolled her eyes at her mother. Like, I don't know. Uh-huh. Like,
and then the cuddle video. Where
and
she's
then she
like,
tried to, there's a cuddle challenge. She tried to hug her child. She was like, no.
Chill out.
Like,
she's like, chill, right I'm now. Watching TV.
Yeah.
Like, stop, I'm watching.
I know Gabby was like, I wanted to be a mom, but goddamn. You know what I'm saying?
That child is so funny, though. Wow. I don't know where she got that energy from. Hilarious.
It's disrespectful, but, like, so hilarious.
Like, you...
when they shut you down, you just
right.
like...
You're like, what? That's crazy.
Fine.
So let's jump on into some shit. I don't really have a fuck that nigga this weekend. I was thinking about it. Is there one do you have? I'm missing one? I'm forgetting?
I mentioned somebody, and you were saying they might have to be fuck that nigga this week. Let me go look in my...
Oh, yeah, you did mention somebody. I can't remember who that was. You did. You have one, Inca?
Was it? I'm going to go.
Ted Cruz is a
Yeah, we bringing in white folks, then it's definitely Ted Cruz and
I mean, nigga is universal for the record.
Okay, well,
it is in my house.
Then it's Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley for real. Because these dudes is on some, like, let's move on shit and about the Capitol, you know, the rushing the Capitol and tearing up shit. And meanwhile, yesterday it came out the extent of injuries that the Capitol Police, you know, got, because lately it's, or up to yesterday, it was kind of like the deaths, which were bad enough, like the people who died. Somebody else, I think, died or killed themselves yesterday. So that was bad enough.
Yeah, there was another suicide.
Another suicide, right? But then yesterday came out all the injuries, like one cop is about to lose an eye. One cop got his spine basically broken. Like his spinal, his what's the bones in your spine?
Like, vertebrae.
The vertebrae cracked, smashed. One cop has a cracked skull. Another cop is like this mad cop with like mad broken ribs. Like they got beat the hell up. They got brutalized. So for that to come out yesterday, and for Ted Cruz, who seems to be leading this charge, but there's others too, like crazy QAnon ladies, and there's two of them. And some
which
others.
Also with the QAnon chicks,
Marjorie
who,
and then
who
Lauren, elected, Lauren and Lauren Boebert,
who is mm-hmm. an elected politician, elected
in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. My thing is, there should have been bigger flags raised when QAnon candidates were on the ballot. Like,
yeah.
It's foolish, legitimately.
I don't think Breitbart or Green are going to make full terms because they just wildin', like they wildin'.
And they have no idea what they're supposed to do. They could have only rocked under a Trump administration, I think.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's a Green or Breitbart. One of them, I don't even know if they finished high school. One of them is like a crazy uneducated, just a lady like who's buck wild and people rally behind her. There's like no education. They're not like Hawley and Cruz who actually have this like super high education, but are just doing dumb shit for obviously some type of agenda. They just doing dumb shit. It's like literally picking one of those Trump people out of like one of those videos.
But that's what they are.
Yeah,
but that's
what
they are.
But I mean, with no education, no nothing, like nothing, nothing, they had nothing going on previous to this.
And it's legitimately who they are, and it is QAnon supported folks being elected to office, I think is actually the rock bottom of Congress. Like that's like what the Tea Party started. That's rock bottom because it is an entire group and now a party based on a conspiracy theory around child sex trafficking in a pizza shop. Like that's the whole shit.
And I don't know if you saw it.
On a made up conspiracy theory.
And I don't know if y'all saw it. It was a video that was released yesterday of Marjorie Greene following around David Hogg, one of the kids who was in the Parkland shooting.
Yeah.
Following him up the street, talking about like it's a hoax. Like you're a punk, you're a coward. Like
what is wrong with you that you want to actually believe that a bunch of little well off white kids, by the way,
yeah,
gunned down, is a hoax?
It's fake.
Like how does your mind work that either you A, believe that, or B, don't believe that, but think this is worthy?
We're just gonna run with it.
Of running with, like yeah. I don't understand it. So the fuck this nigga that you were thinking about, he's irrelevant, but. There's this cat, Barrington, his name Barrington Giles. Anyway, he's a young black man from Georgia. I know him initially from Barrington Martin. I know him initially from Clubhouse because when we were doing a bunch of conversations on Clubhouse before the election around the Ice Cube shit, which by the way, where's Cube? Ain't nobody seen
Gone.
Cube. Ain't nobody Gone. Heard from Cube.
Where's Nobody heard from Cube. He was on Twitter all day.
Nigga ain't been nowhere to be seen. Was complaining about the dim establishment, as some of these motherfuckers like to do. And in regards to him specifically, because he was running for the special election for John Lewis's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who won the seat was actually the head of the DNC for Georgia. And already was one term in as a state senator, but he was acting like it was like rigged and the Dems put their people first. And then come to realize that, first of all, your man has no experience. So, and you want to be put in John Lewis's seat. And then like, it was because it was a special election, there were like 12 people all together. Mm. He wasn't in the top five. So it's like, she didn't beat you, fam. Like you ain't even.
You was even in the game.
Right, and then
you hate from outside the club.
Outside the club, and then later he said something about y'all might have seen this comment, like what it means when when black women are being praised for doing everything. How are black boys supposed to feel? Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was his dumbass. So most recently, he tweeted that he doesn't understand the need for vaccines.
Oh yeah.
When only 1% of COVID cases are fatal, and then says something like that, but people always think I'm crazy. And I'm like, you're tweeting this from Atlanta while Atlanta hospitals are at 100%.
100%.
Like, and the ERs are overwhelmed for 35 miles mm-hmm. outside of Atlanta in all directions. Cobb County's numbers are off the fucking chain right now. Yep, like, yep. I want to say Cobb County is like over 5% fatality. Like, it's something crazy. Their fatality rate is ridiculous. Like, and I'm like, you really tweeted this? And you still, like, your desire is still to run for Congress? And that's the problem. Like, the great thing about America is that anybody can run for office. The terrible thing about that is that anybody can run for office.
Exactly.
Like,
when you meet these, like, minimum requirements, and you good to go.
Yeah, and motherfuckers do not vet these people, what they stand for, what they think, what they say. Like, just check your people before you just be voting for the black folks. That's all
I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's jump into I got
real
a couple,
quick.
Oh, go sorry. Go
before
ahead.
We jump into anything,
you got shout outs or is it something else?
Just an RIP. It looks like it's just breaking that Cicely Tyson.
No.
This afternoon. At 96, her autobiography came out like 2 days ago.
I can't even be mad though, because we 96. Mother Cicely has been tarrying with us, and
96 is a run,
and has been lucid and conversant and moving of her own volition.
And 96 is 96. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I can't even be mad.
You can't be mad. You just got to celebrate it and uplift her, as you know. I think we have been anyway, but just even more so, let's uplift her legacy and her accomplishments, and just, you know, what she meant, you know, to our culture. You know, 96 is a long time, and she worked right up until the end. She's working. Yep. She was cognizant.
Sure
she was,
did.
She was clear. She was concise. She was still doing interviews, looking great. So, you know, God bless Miss Tyson, Harlem's own.
Yep.
And it's God bless her. You know, God bless her and her family. Yeah.
Also, recipes. We lost baseball great Hank Aaron.
Yes. Well, I got to stop you there real quick because a lot of people are doing this. So this is not your fault. He hated to be called Hank.
Okay, Henry
Aaron.
Yeah,
because that's what white people called him.
Okay, Henry Aaron.
They shortened his name on that racist shit. So I've been telling everybody, call him Henry Aaron, because that'd be, you know, because they, you know, he came up back.
He didn't like the way, okay.
Yeah, basically calling him,
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are not aware of that.
So we lost Henry Aaron last week, and white people already started that bullshit where they'd be like, he had so much grace in the face. One ESPN person wrote, he ignored racism.
No, he didn't.
He ignored? Are you kidding me?
No, he didn't.
Like,
he survived it, my man.
Yeah, he survived it. He combated it. He fought it. That's not the same as ignoring it. But then niggas gotta be niggas. And because Henry Aaron and Andrew Young both publicly took COVID, got the vaccine, the first shot to the vaccine, maybe 2 weeks prior.
Mm-mm.
Of course, despite the fact that Mr. Aaron was 86 years old, 86 is
and not really in the best of
great health
at this point.
But even still, 86 in good health is like old black person waking up every day and say, "I thank God that my cooler board and my sheets
have your coffee."
Like, that's every day.
Bacon,
right?
And go sit on the porch and watch.
Correct. It's every day. It's like, how you doing, Mr. Hank? You know, every day above ground is a blessing. That's 86 years.
I'm still here. I'm just making it.
Amen.
I'm just making
yet it. Holding on.
Yeah, just holding. So, like, you can't, like, to reach for a conspiracy theory, because somebody was like, I'd never heard that he was sick. He was 86. Like, I don't really have a lot of questions when you die at 86.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if he's 86, he had, I don't know, he was in a wheelchair, he couldn't move around as well. And he just had, you said, the ailments of an 86-year-old man who actually, you know, not even just a regular 86-year-old man, but 86-year-old man who's been through a lot.
Right.
You know, in his life, he's been through a lot. He's actually my favorite baseball player ever. And the interesting thing about Mr. Aaron is that we all know about the home run king and 755, and obviously he's a Hall of Fame and all that. But if you really, like, if anybody out there listening likes baseball, and you just go look at his stats, they're bonkers. It's like, what? Like, he hit like 70, 60 home runs, 155 RBIs, batted 310. Like, what? Like, his stats are unbelievable. He had 3,000 hits without the home runs.
Right, that's insane.
Like I said, just look at his stats, and they're mind-boggling how good this man was at playing baseball. So, yes, definitely rest in peace to Mr. Aaron. And we'll give a rest in peace to Larry King, too, who died the next day after Aaron at 87 of COVID-related illness as well. Had a long career as a radio person, and then a CNN talk show host. I don't remember how many years his show ran, but forever, and he literally interviewed everyone.
Iconic CNN show.
Like he basically had CNN on his back for a long time.
Oh hell yeah!
I think
CNN was converting from hard news to like an entertainment news.
Mm-hmm. It was him.
I think Larry was the anchor. Larry was pivotal for that. Yeah,
he was the show. Kelly came on at 7 p.m. every night. Like he carried them for years until they kind of got established to what they are now. So peace to him as well. I think he's a Brooklyn person. Definitely in New York. I believe it's Brooklyn's own.
Larry King is one of those people who, like, for us, there are figures who they've just always felt old. Like Larry King always felt
old. He always old, right? Yeah.
And you just kind of imagined, even though you knew they were getting older, there was a part of you that was just like, they just going to be old and here forever. Like, yeah. You know, like when Regis Philbin died, I was like, damn, Regis ain't here no more. You know, like, it's like those people, you just feel like they're just going to exist.
They're part of your life.
Old people just. Yeah.
And one last on Cloris Leachman, who a lot of younger people.
Oh, I didn't know Cloris Leachman
died. Yeah, she died like two days ago, yesterday.
Was
it yesterday? Yeah, you might be 94 years old. A lot of younger people definitely won't know her.
Those of y'all who watch Nick at Night, y'all know Cloris.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you saw that movie Spanglish. That's one of my favorite movies. She plays the old grandmother.
Yeah, and obviously was the star, my co-star of The Rhoda Show. I don't know if she wasn't in Mary Tyler Moore, she was in The Rhoda Show. But anyway, great actress.
She was in something else when she got older. Let me look, because she was somebody's grandmother somewhere.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say peace to them. I want to just mention a couple of things I know that y'all won't really trip on, but I've been getting deep into kind of my Asian film zone. So
Korean films.
Yeah, but I've switched off from Korea. I'm going to go back to them, though, because Korean films are awesome. But I watched a movie called A Son, which is actually a Taiwanese movie. Won a bunch of film festivals over in Asia on Netflix. Very interesting movie about a family, and one of the sons goes to jail. And it's kind of like the effects on him being in jail have on the family. It's a very long movie, though. It's like 2.5 hours. It's really long, but it's really, really, really well done. I really enjoyed that. I'm watching now a Japanese series on Netflix called Alice in Borderland. This shit's incredible.
It's animated, right?
No, it's not, but it's based on anime.
Okay.
It's live action, but it's based on anime. Bro would like this, like, a lot, because it's not John Wick, but it's a lot of action like that. It's about these three kids who are like, these are three kids, kind of goofy kids living in Tokyo, teenage, probably like 18 years old or whatever. And they kind of mess around one day, and the whole world disappears except for them three. And then come find out somehow, I'm only 3.5 episodes
in. They're going into like alternate realities or something.
Yeah, they're playing, it's like a game.
Timelines.
Yeah, they have to play this game, and the game is like, like they're dying. Like it's, a lot of violence or whatnot, but it's just really interesting. I'm 3.5 episodes in now, and it's got my full attention. So I'll keep you posted on that. And then I watched another movie on Netflix, which won a lot of awards too, called White Tiger.
You told us to watch that. I haven't.
Yeah,
watched.
White Tiger.
I haven't either.
That's an India. That's a movie based in India, and it's really kind of like about the caste system. So it's about this poor guy who gets a job working for this super rich family. And kind of like what happens, I almost spill any beans, but like kind of like what happens, it's told in flashback. So it's really, that movie's dope. Cause it's like, you don't see where it's going. It's like, oh shit, it's really ill.
What's her name that's in it?
Priyanka Chopra.
Right.
She plays the son's wife in the joint. And her character is very interesting because she's from Queens. In the movie, she's like, "I'm from Queens. Like we moved to Queens as a kid." And she met her husband, who's the son, in New York. He was over there going to school and working. So then when she comes back to India, she's like got a very different outlook on shit as opposed to somebody who's born and raised in India because she's very independent. And she's like, why are you treating him like that? What the fuck? What's wrong? Like, she'd be going at him like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So this is very, it's a very interesting film. So I just wanted to drop those three things because, again, it ain't nothing else to do but watch movies and shit anyway. So
I'll, Jeff knows that last night I was part of the Netflix screening. You know, they're doing like at-home screenings the same way they would do regular film screenings.
Oh, yeah,
Malcolm and Marie.
Malcolm and Marie, right?
Which is John David Washington, Denzel's son, and Zendaya. Mm-hmm. And it's a film that, so the backstory is Euphoria was about to start shooting season two. They got LA shut production down the day before they was about to start shooting, right? So they all had like kind of all this energy geared up to go, you know, to do something. And Zendaya called, what's the name of the director of Euphoria, the guy who wrote it? I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, I can't remember the old boy's name.
The white boy. But she called him and she was like, all right, we can't just like sit here idly. I need to do something. Like, can we shoot something? Can we shoot something like in my house safely? Mm. And they came up with this concept, like what would it be that will work for that one setting of shooting like in and around the house? And obviously without like a full cast and a full wardrobe and a full, like all this other stuff. So they came up with this premise, like, all right, this couple's coming home, you know, dude's a filmmaker. He forgets to thank his girl at his film premiere. An argument starts. And that's the story around the movie, right? We really are watching them have this argument and play out their whole relationship. And it's almost in like real time.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, any movie that you watch when it's in real time, it's a different kind of experience. And Jeff, I know how you feel, than like a movie that happens over a span of time and you know, all of that. And with establishing shots and all that, like it's you're in different places in the house, but it's literally following them from different rooms. And it's like handheld cam and it's shot in black and white. And it's not really a multicam. It's like one shot and most of the time, like only one of them is in frame at a time. So you really get like full her point of view, full his point of view. But it's not going to be for everybody because it's dialogue heavy. And
did you enjoy it though?
I liked it and there were parts of it, but here's the thing about it. This wasn't about watching for the story. To me, it was about watching for the acting. Right.
Okay.
And watching to see the choices they were going to make to interpret this, because they had so many of the real beats that you have when you're in an argument in a relationship. Like sometimes the silence is really awkward and, you know, and like somebody tries to make a joke to lighten it up and the other person ain't really with it.
Yeah.
Like
you
tell one person wants to say something and then somebody does this complete segue and brings up old shit, or like, y'all laughing at one moment and you think shit is good. And then somebody say something and you go right back to some other place. You know, like that's like at one point they good. And he's like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. Stay right there. Think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. And he comes back and she's like, can I ask you a question? And he's like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that. It's like that kind of thing. So he is.
I find it funny how.
Yeah, it's very that energy. And she's like, just because we were both laughing over the white girl for the LA Times, don't think shit good. We not good. You know, like that type of thing. So.
I'm being triggered right now.
It felt very real, but you don't usually see, like, those would usually be quick cuts in a movie, right? So to see it happen over real time, I think for some people, they're going to feel like it lags or that it's too dialogue heavy. But John David Washington, like, Zendaya's good. We already know Zendaya's range is stupid. John David Washington, this is the act. Role for him that where people are going to really say, oh fuck, this is Denzel's son. He's like Denzel is Bleak Gilliam, but if Bleak Gilliam was a film director. Bleak in Mo Better Blues. He's kind of like an asshole name. And condescending and kind of like, you know, my art, you don't get it, blah, blah, blah. Mm. It's very that, but if that dude made movies. But it's so, like, there would be times I would take my eyes off the screen and it was just young, Denzel. I was like,
I'm in. I mean,
yeah.
As soon as I saw his name, I was like, okay.
I think it's worth a watch. But the funny thing is, while I was watching it, I was like, niggas ain't gonna know how to just watch this movie. Cause you know, we like to process shit and take it apart. And the story's not deep. Like, the story is not deep. And there's a whole scene in there about the fact that he feels like critics put too much on his films because he's Black as a movie maker, right? Mm-hmm. And like and saying like people don't know how to just watch movies and enjoy it for the sake of the movie anymore. And I was like, people gonna like give themselves a headache trying to figure out what to do with this whole segment where they're like, stop trying to put too much on the movie and you about to try to put too much on the movie. Yeah. So
I mean, you ain't gotta watch it, Jeffrey.
One of these days, it's gonna be a whole lot of shit
in front of that. But maybe when I get to it, if I'm right.
I think it was like I said, there were a lot of different moments. And I will admit too, for me, there were moments where my attention lagged, mm-hmm. but it was because I didn't have to be, it's not one of those things where if you're not rapidly engaged every single second, you're going to miss something. But I came out on the other side enjoying it. I did not enjoy it. Now, I don't know. I'm happy to have been able to see it streaming rather than in theaters, I think. Mm. But I think it's a worthy watch.
Real quick, I want to talk about before we forget, Ready to Love. They had the season finale of the second part reunion, which is the last episode of this season, Friday night. The reunion actually to me was better than the whole season.
Agreed.
But this is a weird season, kind of, because nobody really found love. Nobody even really acted like they was in love. It felt like these people came to try to, and I'm doing air quotes, to win the game, as opposed to actually trying to find love. But the thing about, again, air quotes, winning the game, is there's no prize. It's not like at the end of this, you're like, oh, we're going to send you on a trip to Maui, or we're going to get new cars, or you get nothing. So the point of the game is supposed to be to hopefully meet somebody that you can maybe grow with and maybe develop a relationship with. But again, these two couples, the ending two couples, came to quote-unquote win the game. One of the couples, Anthony and Winter, they weren't even sitting together. Like, they're not involved at all. Like, that's dead. That's dead.
It was like, let me find every 40-year-old in Houston that's trying to play some games.
They literally.
Like, it was intense. These people played in my face for 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
Nobody loved anybody at the end of it. It was very bizarre.
Nobody loved anybody. There was a woman on the show who we found out that was 5 months pregnant. Didn't tell nobody.
Super pregnant.
She on the show looking for love, talking about, and she has two other children. So this is her third.
I was about to say, this is three kids.
Yeah, she talking about, she got mad at one dude on the show because she basically asked him, yo, if we start dating, are you going to take care of my family and pay the bills? And Duke was like, no.
He was like, I got to pay for everything?
I got to pay for
your kids. He's my kids.
Where they father at? What the fuck are you talking about? And then come find out that she had a baby in her belly the whole time that she ain't tell nobody about.
The whole time.
She came on a reunion super pregnant. Like, it was like, okay, you might be due like an
I don't watch this show, but that sounds trifling.
It was trifling.
So trifling. She was trifling on the show, though.
It was a lot of trifling shit.
It was another girl who was just angry and aggressive.
Oh,
but like,
Denise.
Mad that everybody was calling her out on being angry and aggressive and like gaslighting.
Yeah.
And she, like, hiding behind colorism, like, you're only saying that because I'm dark skinned and I'm fit, and it's like, you're a bitch.
You're mean as fuck. Yeah, get out of here, Denise. You mean ass bitch. Get out of here.
You're not ready for love.
You know, matter of fact,
you're ready for therapy.
Denise gets that the fuck that nigga from me. Because that's mean as shit. Like, damn, what's wrong with you, girl? Like they have a thing where when they bring a person on who they feel like, again, I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see, isn't ready to love. They'll have like a person from the cast sit with that person.
Which is so messy.
Which is so bonkers. And then instead of Tommy, the host, doing it, like a person from the cast, like, yo, we all talk and we think you ain't ready to love. You got to go. So Denise would do that, the mean one, but she would be extra salty with it. Like, all right, peace, King. you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She and then one of the other girls had to go because her sister died.
Yeah.
And she, like, they all had a meeting about it and was like, oh, that sucks to see her go, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, she left me a message to share with you guys. And it was this whole, like, paragraph and a half of stuff that the girl didn't even say.
Yeah, like keep your head up. She and so
she was
so,
like, POP, hold down.
And she was like saying, like, specifically, like, okay, and to you, Naima, she said she wants you to stay with it and you find that love you need to find. And what she said to me, to you, is you don't give up on yourself. And then on the reunion, Joy, whose sister sadly passed away very suddenly, said, I didn't talk to Denise. I didn't call her like that. I didn't say none of that.
She's like, Denise I didn't have time to leave a message with you. Like,
and Denise was like, I was channeling her through me. Denise got an attitude because motherfuckers was like, yo, you lied?
What the fuck? Right.
And she like, yeah, so what's the problem? Anyway, that show was bonkers. Peace to them. And peace to my Clubhouse group. We talked about that on Saturday. What's it called? I love my Clubhouse group. And what's it called?
This is like your
love and
your social, your cards group. Like my,
it is. It's like my bridge group.
Women's group come over, play cards.
That's literally what it is.
And all that. That's
just playing virtual bedwist.
Exactly. It's literally the only reason I go on Clubhouse now. It's for that group, and then I get off. And this week starts Love and Marriage Huntsville starts Friday. Tomorrow. Oh, Saturday night, excuse me.
Saturday. That's going to be a mess.
That's going to be a fucking mess. So we're looking forward to that. Let's talk about, you know what? It was a while ago, but we have to talk about this Versus.
How was it? Because,
Keisha Cole was an hour and 20 minutes late.
In her house, in her own house.
In the crib. Ashanti was 38 minutes late.
Also in her own house.
All you got to do is go from the kitchen to the room. And you
38 minutes late. But I hear the audience would have been a little more forgiving of the lateness if the DJ wasn't so wet.
DJ was horrible. Okay, wait. I was going to wait on the DJ, but since you brought the DJ up.
Trash.
Keisha Cole's DJ is terrible. And so here's the thing. When somebody is actually an artist road DJ, that tells me a lot about who you're playing to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Keisha Cole's DJ tells me they're playing Hole in the Walls.
They're playing hood spots.
They're playing straight hood spots. Because when they did their little intermission break or whatever, aside from the fact that the sound was trash, all that shit was terrible, when they did their intermission, this nigga started the intermission, which means he had this queued up, ready to go, waiting, ready to press the button with I'm Fucking You Tonight in 2021. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Biggie and R. Kelly.
I was in the other room and I was like,
is that R. Kelly?
Is this thing playing R. Kelly?
And he played it. It wasn't like he played for a second. Like he played like that.
Got to the bridge. Got to the last chapter. Boom.
He played it.
Oh my God. How you get an intermission if you like an hour and 20 minutes?
That was the other thing. It's like a break. Keisha, you only been here 20 minutes.
Yo. Keisha's like, for those who didn't see it, I watched your album music.
Yes,
I didn't even know if Keisha had on the shirt. Like, all I saw was breasts.
It was titties.
It was just titties.
Only thing covered was nipple. Whole titties. I know what Keisha Cole titties look like now.
It was just titties.
I've seen them. I saw them.
What is happening? It was just titties. And like, like I said, the sound on Keisha's side was terrible. On Ashanti's side, she was at like, she was in the booth. She was like, turn the music up. Turn the music down. But speed it up, slow it down. I was like, what are we doing right now? You're like, hurry up, top. Y'all, just sing the goddamn song.
The other hood shit about Keisha's DJ is that this nigga was scratching over her vocals. It's like in the verse, he'd be like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, I can't hear the record, nigga. Like, shit was just, and then OT Genesis came out. Because remember they had that beef when he was doing the Love covers.
I know.
Right, and he came out to actually do
Love.
Like instead of her trying to hit the note for Love, OT came out the back.
Come on.
Just out of nowhere to sing Love all Love with her. Up.
But OT stayed too long. It would have been cool for like 10, 15 seconds. He stayed for the whole song. It was like, OT, you ain't gotta. We get it. The joke's over, nigga. Like, you can go now.
So they're like cool now, even after. Because he was.
Yes, not he was stalking her. He was not at all. But they said he's going to squash our bees, you know, West Coast, da 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 da. So apparently they cool. Now, according to Keisha, left some records on the table. She didn't play songs in the correct order, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she clearly didn't have a strategy.
She didn't have no
strategy.
How did
she not prepare? You were 3 months late.
I don't know what people were doing.
And when she finally came out, an hour and 18 minutes late, to be precise, she didn't apologize. She just sat down like, all right, let's get it. Like, literally, she was like, all right. All right, y'all. Yeah, how y'all doing? Like, so yeah. I sit here. Okay, cool. I wish I could stand up. All right, let's get this going.
She kept saying that. I wish I could stand up and dance and stand up and move. And y'all can't see me when I stand up. I mean, so my
girl, you like 5'1".
My main problem, right? Like, you could stand up and you still be at the same camera level. But yeah. My main problem with this versus, which is exactly what I knew was gonna happen, is that the two of them have no energy together.
None.
Like, I happen to think they are both boring. And with Keisha, like, she crazy, but she's not funny.
She's not using the crazy well.
Keisha's the girl that come to the party or to the house or whatever it is and go sit in the corner and be moping, be sullen.
Be mad.
You're like, Keisha, you all right? I'm all right. Keisha, what's wrong? Nothing.
Yeah, she is that.
Oh,
no.
What's wrong? Don't ask me no more. What's wrong? I said nothing.
Exactly. She loosen up a little bit, and y'all be just joking around, and then you say some shit, and she just get mad and just go off on
go
you.
Right, go off and then leave.
Because I hate that kind of energy.
You can't play with Keisha. And with Ashanti,
you can't play with Keisha.
Ashanti was doing like the little fake ass 15
the fake laugh and
the little cutesy shit. So I just knew there was gonna be no chemistry. I knew the repertoire between them was gonna be whack. You know what I mean? It was like there was no.
It was trash.
So,
but you saw your man said it was the biggest one ever.
Right. So I was gonna say Sean's not here, but when Swiss said that,
I know Sean.
I definitely was of the mind of get the fuck out of here because people aren't even that engaged in Versus right now.
Maybe they only counted the people that logged in, not the people that stayed.
He actually, him and Tim did an IG after, and he talked about that, and I can't.
Unless maybe it was
He talked about how you count and how you
unless
count.
Unless maybe there were more people from the younger demo than usual.
You know what I also think it was too? People tuned in, especially, I think, this is just me talking shit, I don't know. But I think the lateness and actually led to the increased audience because people wanted to see the car crash.
Right.
It was like, well, she still ain't on? Let me turn this shit on and see what the fuck gonna happen. It was kind of like that. And again, it's Saturday night. We're in COVID. It ain't nothing else to do in most cities. And I think people just was like, well, fuck it. I'm gonna put it on because it ain't nothing else to do.
Even with nothing else to do, I was not... I was like, whatever. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that shit. Like,
have you heard?
Told y'all, I poured a glass of wine and we turned our Law and Order.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that.
But then also, if you want to talk about cultural moments this weekend that didn't quite curl all the way over for me, the Salt and Pepper
I was going in next. So next up, Lifetime, who is for better or worse. You know, me and Sean had a little debate on the text. I think it's kind of for better. Sean definitely thinks it's for the worse. Lifetime is
black content space.
Exactly. Lifetime has taken over the black biopic space. Nobody else is even in a close second, really. And they're doing all these movies. They got more coming out. There's a Whitney. There's a Bobby Christina one.
They need to leave Whitney and Bobby Christina alone.
This is like the third one.
It's the third one on Lifetime, I think.
And then this one is a documentary. This one is a doc.
Okay. And then there's the Wendy joint, which I'm...
Yeah, Wendy is on Saturday.
I'm watching that.
I'll be there.
I'm going to watch the first part because I need to... I really don't care beyond the Hot 97 Years. And if they don't get the Hot 97 Years right, then I'm turning it off. Because if you guys don't know the early Hot 97 Wendy in the 90s.
Yeah, a lot of people won't.
And how...
Because she was local.
It was awful. It was awful. She was beefing with every artist in New York. And she was beefing with every other talent in the station. Like, everybody fucking hated Wendy.
She had to have security.
But you used to really tune in because you just knew she was going to piss everybody the fuck off. It was like the hate listen joint. Like, this is why part of why Charlemagne is the way he is, because Wendy was his mentor, but he can't even touch what Wendy was doing.
No, not that.
Now,
I don't know if you saw today, Wendy came out, and I'm going to say allegedly.
With the meth shit?
Yeah, saying she blazed meth. Allegedly. I don't, you know, obviously.
Which also, to me, is in bad form, because Wendy was famously also the person who outed Meth's wife about her health issues.
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at that, which pissed me off because he was very quiet about
it. Very private about it.
And I can't help but assume there's something personal in there, because now you're talking about you fucked.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? So and you say it now, it's like 20 something years later? Like, they got like, could have let that one ride, Wendy. So anyway, that comes on Saturday. So we're definitely going to talk about that next week. But this week was Salt and Pepper, EP'd by both of them.
And by Latifah and Shakim.
Oh yeah, that's right. By Flavor Unit as well. And it was about their lives.
Directed by Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, I didn't realize he directed. That's why he was in it.
Yeah,
that's why he was in. Okay, their lives up till 2005 is where this ended. So it left 15 years on the table. But mixed reviews. These are my thoughts. I actually thought both the girls, the actresses, did well.
They did well for early Salt and Pepper.
I agree.
Yeah, for early Salt and Pepper. Yeah. I thought that girl really embodied Pepper. Like, she really nailed Pepper. And the girl played Salt kind of like, you know, got it going too with the kind of chaste Salt kind of thing. I thought the guy who played Herbie was really good as well.
He was spot on.
Very good.
Excellent. He looked like Herbie. He was moving like Herbie. For those who don't know, Herbie Lovebug, who, you know, put Salt and Pepper together and wrote basically their first two, three albums on himself.
I think the first two and half of the third one, and then they did Very Necessary.
Then they did Very Necessary.
And also put Kim Play together. Also has something to do with Kwame.
They were all signed his label. I'm blanking on Herbie's label now. Shit. But anyway, he had several acts on his label. So Herbie made a whole bunch of money and then eventually moved to the islands. He moved.
Early crossover hip hop.
Yeah, he moved back. I don't know if he moved back to Haiti because he's Haitian, but he definitely moved back to the. He moved to the Caribbean like back in like the 90s, and then he got into like video gaming and coding early. So Herbie's made a ton of money. He wrote Push It, so every time you hear that in a commercial, whatever, Herbie's getting that.
Herbie, right?
Yeah. So peace to Herbie, I guess. But anyway, so I thought the girls were good. It kept me pretty engaged. You know, throughout, I mean, it's a Lifetime, so, you know, I'm not expecting Oscar award-winning performances, but I thought, you know, for, like, Saturday night and they showed us a new movie, it was all right. What'd y'all think?
I enjoyed it.
So, I thought it was okay, but the thing is, I thought it was okay being somebody who knows and has written about Salt and Pepper in depth and who was a real-time Salt and Pepper fan as they were coming up, right? Who was, quote-unquote, there for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
If I was,
I felt that shade, by the way. I was young, but I was there.
No, I was going to say, if I was somebody who didn't know a lot about Salt and Pepper, I don't know if I would have walked away from that with a better understanding of why Salt and Pepper was important as a women's hip hop group, right?
Hmm.
Like, as the first female hip hop group, as the first rap act to go platinum, as the first, you know, like all of that. So it's like, And really understanding, like, I think they actually did one part of disservice when they were arguing about being moms and singing stuff like it's none of your business, when in fact, like, the girls were talking about agency and, you know, autonomy and being sexy, like, early, right? So I think one of the things that happened is, and I understand it might be a cost thing, a budget thing, they tried to cram too much into that 3 hours. So they touched on every problem. Like, they touched on the fact that Herbie was writing all the material and the girls were really just talent put in place and they wanted more creativity. They touched on the fact that Herbie and Salt's relationship was tumultuous and it, you know, bled over into the group. They touched on the fact that, like, Pep and Tretch had an abusive relationship. They touched on the fact that they was playing Spin to the left, but Spin didn't do shit. They touched on all of this shit. They touched on the fact that Salt and Pepper wasn't getting paid off their shit. They touched on all of it, but they didn't really spend any real time on any of it. You know what I'm saying? So it was almost like a cliff notes. But it's
yeah,
like,
but I mean, but all the,
but the wardrobe was this. I'm just saying, for the sake of having, for the sake of people who might have wanted to walk away having learned something new, I don't know if this gave them that. And I think the ladies deserve so much more of a deep dive. And I'm, but I'm noticing that with biopics on TV, like, they'll spend a lot of time in the early years with the exposition, because that's the heaviest nostalgia. Like, they get all the details right.
And then they kind of blow past the last part.
Closer to modern day, they start speeding up. Like, even with the VH1 Honors, they in the car on the way to the actual taping, talking about they ain't seen each other and spoke to each other.
Yeah, like, y'all didn't rehearse?
Like, y'all niggas ain't have a month of rehearsals for this shit? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
of course they did. Of course.
Come on, man.
They didn't just grab the mic and go out there, you know, just on the random.
Right, right.
What'd you think, Inka?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't look too deep into it. I don't know enough. And well, I wasn't, I'll say, old enough for me to compare the actual to, like, what, you know what I mean? What the movie portrayed. I remember them being huge. I remember them coming to, because I grew up in Maryland, so Go-Go was big there. Yeah. So when EU kind of worked in with them, I feel like they were in his entourage early on.
So well, Herbie, had a big, that was Herbie's thing. Herbie Go-Go. was a go-go influence. That's why you heard a lot of go-go with, it was Shake Your Thing with EU, and that's why you heard a lot of go-go with Ken Play, too, with the
And it was, what was that song? Let's talk about the go-go. It was like a song that they broke into a go-go break. I can't remember this. It was a big record.
Oh, they broke, Expression has a go-go break.
It was Expression. It was Expression. Yeah. Exactly.
The sound of my go-go, man.
Yeah.
I love Salt and Pepper. Like, I also think they didn't get enough credit for, like, I mean, and they mentioned it. They mentioned it, like Russ said, they weren't going to make it. But they really got clowned because they were a crossover group. Like, people did not want to take them seriously as rappers. But if you listen to those early Salt and Pepper records, like, the flow is crazy.
It was rapping.
They ride the beat. Like, they're right in the pocket.
Yeah.
The wordplay is crazy. Even though Herbie wrote it, like, their delivery is.
Yeah.
I still listen to Hot, Cool, and Vicious, which is the first album.
The first album, right? Yeah. And I mean, and they came out, and they came out, and they mentioned it in the doc, but they, I mean, the movie, but it came out going after Dougie Fresh.
Yeah.
That was their first song, like, going after Dougie, who was really big at the time. Showstopper, yeah, was really big at the time. People were like, who the fuck are these girls? I never heard of them. And they going after, like, this record, basically the hottest record in definitely in the New York area. But yeah, I enjoyed that. Way before we move on, what did y'all think about the fact with Spinderella and the fact that they didn't include her and, you know,
here's my thing about Spin, right? Spin was absolutely a necessary component of the aesthetic of Salt and Pepper, meaning the look, the visual. She was not a crucial component of the energy of Salt and Pepper. Like, you expect to see Spin on an album cover, but if you ain't see Spin at a show, nobody's like, where's Spinderella at the show? You know what I'm saying? Like, because she don't
really about that.
She don't
at least not. Not they expect her to go over there and do a DJ show, but like,
she's at least not until they run in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, she only rhymed on the last two albums, and she never really, like, she'd be behind the DJ booth.
I know, but she was just part of the aesthetic. No, she wasn't that. But
that's why I said she's part of the aesthetic. She's not part of the energy, and she wasn't, like, Spinderella could have been replaced with another Spinderella. Like, Spinderella was a character that Herbie created that he put people into, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's not even like Dee Dee herself created.
No, she didn't.
Did we even know Spin's personality for real?
I mean, I do.
You know what I'm saying?
Dee Dee's actually.
No, I just feel like, I feel like, Dee Dee, I get it. You probably feel like they played you to the left, but this is their group. I mean, it's Herbie's group, but it's their group. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but Dee Dee's nice, and I hate that they treat Dee because she's really a sweet person. But anyway,
just feel like she does too much, and I'm like,
well, I thought it was something.
Admitted, like, they portrayed it as her feel like they was playing her even in the movie. Yeah. Like, so it's not
but
like
there was something that in the movie was just a little quick scene, but maybe that explained what the beef was. Now,
and Herbie was flirting.
Yes, that Salt was like, who is this bitch, and it's Herbie fucking her.
Yes.
Because Dee Dee's was, I
which
mean,
was not, very likely.
Especially she was young. Dee Dee was a dime.
Yes, beautiful. And it was also very likely because sure. I was fucking everybody.
Yeah, so
I wanted to be salt so bad when I was a little girl.
You did?
I thought salt was a flower.
With the hair, so with the haircut
and everything. The hair and the whole thing. Yeah.
And even when they came out with Very Necessary, she had the short joint. Like,
oh, yeah, the shortcut. Yeah,
I always thought salt was just
so cute. Yeah. Even the finger waves later on, I was like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot you should have the finger waves too. Yeah, so peace to them. And, you know, Dee Dee, you're very sweet. And I'm sorry that you're not, you know, you're feeling a way about this. Let's talk real quick. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk real quick about, you know what? Let's talk about Robin Hood. So in the last GameStop and Express and AMC. So I'm not going to get this story. This is totally a Sean story. This is a Sean story all day.
I can tell it a little bit if you don't have the next one.
I got a little bit of it, but correct me when I'm wrong. So there was a Reddit, I guess, sub forum started with some guys who, I don't know if they were hedge fund guys or just brokers or whatever, but they decided to take some stocks that basically were dead in the water.
So there's a Reddit, it's close. There's a Reddit thread that talks about the stock market and about trades. And the Redditors noticed that a hedge fund was shorting stock for GameStop. And they came up with the idea.
Oh, it was just for GameStop.
Yeah. They were shorting stock for GameStop. So they came up with the idea of, yo, we should buy up a bunch of shares. And I'm not going to really even try to explain short stocks for real. That's what we need Sean from. But basically what a short stock means is instead of buying shares of stock yourself, you borrow shares from somebody else who owns it, trade it. So eventually you got to buy the shares back, but you do it on the assumption that you can then go and buy more shares at a lower price. Mm. So if you are trying to short a stock and the price goes up instead, you end up taking a massive loss because essentially you have borrowed stocks from somebody else and thinking you can sell them off. So let's say I bought a share of GameStop at $10. No, let's say I borrowed a share of GameStop, a $10 share of GameStop from somebody. Then like the next day GameStop dropped to $7. I buy that $7 share. I give the $10 share back. I basically netted $3, if that makes sense. So it's more complex than that, but that's the easiest way I can think to explain it because I don't play the stock market like that. But anyway, so these guys say on Reddit, we should buy up a bunch of the shares because it'll drop the price up and it'll fuck them up. But it also, because the price was low, if you're buying a bunch of shares and it drives the price up, it also gives you a chance to cash out.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. At an
advantage. But it caught even more fire than they expected because it expanded from Reddit to TikTok. And there are now these trading apps like a Robinhood that allow you to, you know, start a trade on credit. They give you some of them will give you an LLC to start out with. Mm-hmm. Because, and a lot of people are using it almost like it's monopoly money because most people do real shit with it. But like a lot of these folks were just like, let me put $66 in it. Let me put $120 in it. And able to cash out like the next day at a couple grand, the next day at, you know, several more hundred because they drove GameStop
price up
over like 3 days. So now, of course, so that's what happened. And it started with Reddit. So now after that, once AMC was declaring that they were about to fold, people are hoping to repeat it with other stocks. But the thing is, like, that GameStop streak, that's never going to happen again because now regulators are watching, Wall Street is watching.
Well, they shut Robinhood down today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't know that happened today.
Yeah, they shut it down.
I knew the hedge fund. I knew Robinhood had stopped allowing trades on certain stocks.
The whole shit done.
The hedge fund that originally was doing the short stocking, they had to declare bankruptcy and shut down.
Robinhood app is shut down. It's over. Yeah, so and it's funny. Like today, I saw some clips where like it was this one old white man. I don't know his name. Some old like what's the Eddie Murphy movie Trading Places?
He was Mortimer. Like one, Mortimer.
Yeah, he literally was like that, but in real life, yo, Duke was on there pissed. He was like, this is why you can't give people those government loans and those stimulus checks, because they get into this and they're making money. And this dude was...
think about how you sound. That's the craziest shit. People are really mad that average people are making to make money on the stock market, because a short stock, especially short stock, is like a real finance person's name. Mm-hmm. That's like...
That's why he's mad. He's mad that
I got 82 people on the phone. Buy this, do this, watch this, watch for the numbers.
Yeah. When it goes here, sell, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. The Duke was pissed. He was like, how fucking dare they make money on our shit? Like,
which is craziness.
It was crazy. There was another dude crying. He was crying on CNBC today. Like, yo, I really care, and I don't like how they're treating the rich. I don't like how they're treating the wealthy. Yo, dead ass.
And let's also talk about, like, in theory, shorting a stock should actually be illegal in the first place.
So should hedge funds.
So should hedge funds, right. So a hedge fund shorting a stock is not, it literally is, it's OTR, it's betting. It's basically the same thing as when you go to play the horses.
Yeah.
If you're betting against a stock position. It's the same thing as when your uncles and them went to the track, except it's just a different form, right?
And a lot more money.
Right. But I will say that the danger with the apps like Robinhood is not so much people making money, but if you just decided that you were going to get into this game like last week, and I think we were talking about this with Bitcoin a few weeks ago, and you feel like this is something where you're putting money into to flip it right fast, that's not actually what investment what playing in the stock market is for. It technically should be for a very long
term,
because there's a lot of ebbs and flows, and this is why, unless you're experienced at this, it helps. Like, I know there are clubhouse rooms about it, and there are forums about it, but this is where you need a financial manager to tell stock is up right now. Don't sell yet.
LLC.
Yes, your stock is dropping, but don't cash out just yet. Yes, you're just, because you really do need somebody who knows how the volatility of the market works to advise you of this. So I can understand. I would like to see their reasoning for shutting Robinhood down. If it's something like there wasn't sufficient, you know, advice, if it's, because it might, my guess is that it's about the cash outs more than the actual investments themselves. Because all these people were cashing out like in 48, 72 hours. And that would look suspicious to me if I'm, you know, on the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'm gonna
especially like, after a 4,000% increase.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, we can't just be having niggas in here for 72 hours and taking the money back out the stock market. Also, it's going to fuck the stock market up, right?
Like, Robinhood is, they put out a tweet today saying, in light of current market volatility, they thought of restricting transactions of certain securities, including AMC and GameStop. They you can't even get in there and fuck around no more. Like, it's a mess. It's gonna be corrected. And what's gonna end up happening is, like you said, it's gonna be a lot of people jumping in there thinking it's a quick lick, and they're gonna use those people to make bread and burn them, because it ain't a quick lick. And if you miss this wave, it's not coming back again.
It's
like with Bitcoin. Niggas got burned on that because they thought it was sweet. Oh, I could flip my money.
You laid on it. And I saw somebody even tweeted, like, you know, like I said, people who think AMC is going to do the same thing, no way in the hell. Because now motherfuckers are watching for this shit.
Yes.
Like, that's the one thing about Wall Street that's different than regular legislation, is that as soon as something like this happens, them niggas is on it. This shit is never happening again. It's never happening again.
Yep.
Ever.
And they know how
to catch them slipping again like that.
And you know, and they know how to move and shake to where it won't happen again. They know formulas. It's like formulaic. It's
and they made it too hot on the internet and embarrassed some folks.
Way
too hot. One thing those Wall Street types do not like is people thinking that they broke and they don't have control of their money.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll have, when Sean comes on next week, we'll go a little deeper, because I know he's probably been reading on this shit nonstop.
Yeah. I do think it's a beautiful, you know, turning of the tables for Wall Street and capitalism, though. People gaming the game. Because, you know, one thing niggas on the internet know now is an algorithm. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's a beautiful tale of gaming the game. I think that part is great. But I also know enough about Wall Street to know they not gonna ever let that.
It ain't gonna last. You game the game, maybe, but it ain't that ain't gonna last long.
Here's your one.
I hope you cash
enjoy
out
that shit. Time. I hope you pay some bills.
Exactly. Get you.
Thanks for coming out. God bless tonight.
Exactly. Holla. I just want to give a quick, shout out, to President Joe Biden, who's seems to be really digging.
Who's working his ass off?
Yes.
Who's the president
on executive orders?
Who's the president?
Yeah, who's the president? And he's doing these executive orders and doing some, he's doing, or he did some stuff on a racial equality. He's just kind of taking back a lot of the fuckery that Trump put out there. He's trying to wipe it away and give stuff, back to the people. I think he put a stop on, not a stop, but he gave people a longer time for student loans.
Yeah, there's a extended moratorium on student loans.
Yeah.
And
moratorium on evictions.
And evictions. And
he put a halt on immigrations.
Yep.
So that they can reform policy. Stop the building on the border wall.
He did open enrollment for ACA again, February 15th to May 15th.
Yeah.
Put in some things to strengthen the DACA Act. Basically, what he's doing right now is all the stuff he can do via executive order.
Yes.
Which means that anything that has to do with legislation that's already on the books. So there is kind of like what Trump did, undoing things Obama did. He's either halting things Trump did, reinstating things Trump stopped, like putting us back in WHO, the World Health Organization, putting us back in the Paris Climate Accord.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping some things that Trump was doing, right?
And even brought back the Harriet Tubman $20 bill.
There's a Harriet Tubman $20 bill.
Yeah.
So what I do want to address, though, is all y'all Negroes who tweeting, where's my fucking money? The administration has been in office for a week yesterday, but really a week today. This is a full business week.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Right?
People
are like, well, Congress should have had it written ready to go. Here's how these things work.
These niggas ain't taking no civics classes, man.
Presidents propose a plan. Presidents have agendas. They have priorities. Presidents do not write legislation.
I
just need to explain it to the people because y'all ain't have schoolhouse rock. Maybe that's why you don't understand.
Yeah, you are so patient on the internet.
Wants to do that requires new bills or laws on the books. Congress has to draft it, meaning write up an actual plan. They have to negotiate it because it's never just one thing. Plans have what we call pork in them. So somebody will be like, I'll sign off on this if you give me this money
for
this
building
that I need over here that I've been asking for that y'all ain't gave me. I'll sign off on this if you also give me this measure to do this other thing over here. So they have to negotiate it. They have to pass it in the House. Then they have to take it to the Senate and pass it in the Senate. It is a process. The shit would not have happened in 5 motherfucking business days, right? And the last plan that was written last fucking May just got renegotiated in November and signed off on December 27th. Congress first joint session was January 6th, and then they were adjourned till January 19th, and inauguration was on January 20th. So, like, people would say that I was carrying water for Biden, I was making excuses for Biden. I was like, this is about knowing how the fucking process works.
He's not a king.
He's not a king. Contrary to what Trump made y'all think. And have the executive order.
And what Trump do? He gave you niggas $600 for 7-8 months. He didn't do shit for you niggas.
And half the executive orders y'all saw Trump sign were bullshit. Like, he was just signing shit.
And just holding it up for the fucking camera like a fucking...
Yeah, bullshit. They weren't for nothing. They didn't do nothing. They didn't affect nothing. And Biden cannot unilaterally give an order about any kind of spending, again, that isn't attached to an existing bill.
We just got
a Secretary of Treasury Monday night. Like, I just need motherfuckers to understand.
They don't understand shit. You think this is dumb. And all they're going to do is get that $1,400 and blow through it in a week and be looking for more. Fuck you.
And then they complain about the $1,400 versus the $2,000. Like, y'all can't be this stupid. Like, seriously. Like, just...
Seriously.
They can be this
stupid. Y'all just want to complain. Just say you want to complain.
These niggas is dumb.
Bernie wouldn't have got it done any faster because people in Congress don't even like Bernie.
Bernie going
home. Except AOC.
Wait, get your meme on and your mittens, and God bless you, Bernie. You know what I'm saying? But just chill out.
God bless.
Yeah, God bless him. God bless his grumpy ass.
So done with these niggas.
Yo, sidebar. I saw the wild shit today. So China, although this report came out of Seoul, Korea, so I don't think they're involved in this as well.
Oh, I know what you're about to say.
China, with their COVID testing, has now started to do anal swabs.
So not quite, but
they bend the niggas over and they shoving the Q-tip up your ass.
It's not quite.
As soon as you got the Rona.
Which actually, low key, might be a lot more pleasant than that fucking nasal swab anyway.
Oh, yeah, they say the nasal swab is bullshit. You know, they put a bomb up your ass when your baby to check your temperature.
Yeah. So it's two things. They're either asking for
you a sodomize the niggas to see if you got the Rona.
They're asking for it's going to be a stool sample. Oh my God. It's a stool sample.
They fucking niggas in the ass about that Rona.
You know what?
I really cannot.
I know.
I really cannot.
The expressions of Jeffrey Sledge do not. So it's two things. One is it's going to be a stool sample. If not a stool sample, then a swab. But the reasoning is because when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute. The reasoning is that sometimes if you're towards the latter part of the virus lifetime, you might get a negative test from a oral or nasal swab, but your digestive tract shows that the bacteria is still in your system.
Still up in there.
Yeah, but they're also saying that they're only looking at doing it in the most extreme areas in terms of
look,
the cases.
Look, I'm not down with the anal swab Rona test.
Take in a stool sample. You can do that
taking a piece of my shit up in the goddamn.
It's never pleasant. Anything that has to do with it, I don't think medical professionals either are like, ooh, I can't wait to.
Ooh, can't wait to get all these stool samples. Niggas walking in with a piece of shit in a C-Town bag. Check into the Rona. Like niggas walking in with a C-Town. CVS bag with some
Please
shit in
stop.
It. Talk about. Can you tell me if I got Rona? They doing this shit over in Beijing right now, and you know, China is not like here. You don't have a choice in China. If they say you got to do anal shit, you got to grab your ankles and pray to Jesus.
I literally just said they said you could bring in a stool sample, Jeffrey. So you do have a choice, and they're not
okay.
doing it. Everywhere.
So that's not too good choice. You like a shit in a bag. And bring it up in there, or I could have you take a Q-tip and shove it up my
ass. I just want everybody to know that this is how conspiracy. This is how conspiracy theories and misinformation get spread rampant.
Yeah, let's run with this one.
In a minute, this is why they think the vaccine is going to make black men gay. And
in a minute,
how our superpowers.
In a minute, Goldie going to be DMing me talking about China raping motherfuckers.
China raping because
of COVID.
It won't be me. Oh man, so peace to everybody in Beijing right now who's grabbing their ankles about that Rona.
Peace to you.
Word. Peace to Jeffrey. Or as Mother Cicely would have said, peace, be still. Meaning peace, shut your ass up.
Exactly. Real quick, I didn't really get deep into this story, but I just found it very interesting that it came out that the guy who is the head of the Proud Boys, Enrique Terrio is how you pronounce his name. Who's Latin, actually. He's not a white man at all. He's either
Puerto Rican. He can be both.
No, but he's like a darker, like he looks Latin. He looks like a Puerto Rican
delusional.
Guy. Yeah, there you go. He's delusional. He was arrested on January 4th, right before
the insurrection.
The insurrection. A lot of people kind of missed this, but he actually posted a picture on the gram of him at the White House before. Like, he had went to visit Trump before.
Oh, there was a whole meeting of a bunch of them the day before.
Yeah, no. But even before that day, like it was maybe like a few days before that, he took a picture in front of the White House like with his hands up like he was going to meet Trump probably to start the process of all that shit. But then it comes to find out that he's a snitch.
He's an informant.
He's
a prolific informant.
Yeah, he's been working with the cops and FBI the whole time. So it's like, is this dude, who is it? Like, what side is this guy riding on? Was he, I don't know. I want to see how this kind of unfolds. But yeah, but he's, it says he's prosecuted, helped authorities prosecute more than a dozen people. on drugs, gambling, and human smuggling. This is back from 2014 transcripts. Really? So he's been doing this shit for a minute. But just this
good for the ass though.
Huh? Yeah, I know. I'm happy that he snitched on him. It just but it's just kind of this story is kind of going under the radar because there's so much other shit going on. But
yeah, this was a hell of a week. I was just telling Nat before we started recording, like, what is going on?
There's so much
in the world. Like, I couldn't keep up. I had to just log out and look at cleaning TikToks today. I just couldn't take
not
it.
Not cleaning TikToks.
Give me a TikTok, boy.
It's very soothing.
Hey, a piece of them gals doing a silhouette challenge.
That niggas had to go on doing, by the way.
What'd they do?
Yeah, man.
Niggas have been some determined dude. To remove the silhouette because the silhouette challenge is a filter,
right?
So of course niggas had to be like, yo, we know how to remove the filter. So now y'all thought, why y'all always gotta be creepy about shit? Be horny privately. Like calm the fuck down.
Just, I didn't you know can about see that. Titties anywhere.
That's
like
what I'm saying. Porn is free, bro. Like, yeah. I didn't know about that part. Fuck them niggas. Let's end the show with the whole story is a legend. So let's mention this T.I. Tiny. Alleged.
And breaking. Alleged and breaking.
And breaking. It's like as we speak.
Developing as we
speak. Yeah, developing as we speak. One of my group chats, obviously I'll keep the other people nameless, just texted me on Instagram saying that T.I. and Tiny allegedly are now in the hot seat. 15 women now have come forward with
16.
Is it 16 now?
Yeah, 16.
Have come forward with sex trafficking charges for women and minors for T.I. and Tiny. So there's a woman who, I think her name is Sabrina something. Can't remember.
Yeah, she kicked it off.
Yeah, she kicked it off. She and Tiny apparently were really close friends for a long time. And then she came out and said, like, you know, she felt like she had this weight on her. She wanted to tell about all the things that T.I. and Tiny were doing. She put it out there. And then in her DMs, obviously, all these stories started coming back to her of women in and around the Atlanta area and other areas as well. Because, you know, T.I. is a massive artist. He toured. He moved around. And a woman with very kind of similar stories of having threesomes with T.I. and Tiny, which is not the issue. Except for a couple of girls were underage, allegedly, at the time. And so that might be, again, allegedly to this whole, everything I'm saying. But that could be an issue if it deemed true. But otherwise, these threesomes weren't the issue. It was allegedly T.I. and Tiny also, like, drugging these women.
Right.
And the women were, like, waking up with people they didn't even know.
Yeah.
And the issue is the consent.
Consent. Right? Exactly.
So, like, the women, because a mutual person that Jeff and I both know also hit me up and was like, this is the backstory. It's not really that. And if you read the ladies' stories, they all say they were there to do this and that. So it wasn't even that. It was like these women admittedly were, you know, okay with like engaging in sex with T.I. and or Tiny, right?
Allegedly.
Well, no, this part is true. They were okay with being, you know, with engaging in sex.
Cool going back to the house.
And cool going back to the house, cool going back to the hotel. Cool with possibly some level of a drug taking.
Yeah, maybe pop a Molly or whatever.
Yeah, some party. What the stories are saying, though, and I don't have to say what these, I'm not saying what it was, what the stories are saying is that once they got into wherever the space was, there was, you know, coercion, if not outright, like forced acts, that there were people who were unable to leave when they wanted to leave, who took additional drugs to the point of damn near being unconscious.
Yeah.
That in some cases there was violence. So it's more about there was a level of consent, but the women in the stories and many of these stories, it was about being pushed beyond
the level
they initially consented to.
Yeah. And also there was one woman, allegedly again, who said that she had a tryst with them. Again, she didn't, you know, it was cool. She was with it. But apparently, again, according to her, T.I. was really enjoying her. Mm-hmm. And Tiny got pissed off at watching T.I. really enjoying her and, like, whooped her ass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because she's like, blah, blah, and the girl's like, nigga, like, what you want me to do? Like, he likes the pussy. Like,
right.
You know, so so there's a lot going on.
Which, by the way, is why but this is why I have no problem saying this is why I have never consented to threesomes, because I know that if my nigga is enjoying something else too much, I see a face I ain't seen before, I hear a noise I ain't heard before, it's a problem. So I know myself well enough to know
Anybody who's gonna do a threesome out there in
Jeff, you got the coach us
in internet world. All I'm gonna say is this. Don't do a threesome, like Nas said. Don't do a threesome. I don't, unless you really have real conversation or really prepared, I would not suggest doing threesomes with somebody who's your mate.
Okay.
Now, if there's two girls, the people y'all kicking it with, and y'all just like, ah, this shit was crazy last night. That's different because there's no kind of emotion there. It was just fun. We got high and it got lit.
Inka's trying to jump in.
I'm sorry, Inka. Go ahead.
It either has to be completely casual, meaning you kind of know this person, or you're friends with this person, and you're kind of friends with that person.
Yes.
Right. Or you have to be the guest star in like a couple.
I think it's much easier. I think it's much easier to be the third than to.
You gotta be able to walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I can't. Allegedly. Back in the day, when dudes used to be like, "Can we?" No.
Yeah, because
you got one time. Let me see you do some shit I ain't seen before, nigga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm gonna be like, "What the fuck was that? What? Why? Was that, nigga? I ain't seen that."
Now it's everything fucked up, nigga. Yeah, sitting there,
it's all fucked up now.
Naima screaming on a nigga, his dick limp. Old girl don't know what to do. Should she get dressed?
And then after that, like it'll be years down the road, and I'm gonna be like, "But what about that time you made that face?
You made that grown, nigga.
That shit, you like that? I ain't seen that since."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, your toe curled up.
I know myself. I know myself. I'm not jealous, but I am possessive. I can't do it.
So that's what I, So we'll,
We will continue to watch this because thing
because you said it's developing.
16 people is a lot.
It's a lot.
16
people ain't all, everybody probably not lying, especially if they don't know each other.
Especially if they're not trying to gain anything from it. Like they're in this woman's DMs, you know, privately.
Yeah. Yeah, they want
to. Like they had money thrown at them to keep quiet, they had this, they had that. And that's what me and Jeff's mutual friend was saying. Like these girls are saying they took my. I'm like, okay, but the fact that you're saying they are being honest about things that happened, you need to listen to what they're saying. The problem was, right?
Yeah.
So, and again, the question of it all seems to come from the Sabrina chick, the original chick. Apparently, her credentials are really shady and questionable. But my thing is like, once you have more people coming out, you kind of have to put that first person aside, because like if it's one person, if it's two people who know each other, okay, whatever. 16 people, dog, and they're telling stories that span 15 years.
Yeah, that's the other thing. These stories are not all recent.
Like, people actually already know, like Tia and Tiny have a reputation for moving a certain way in Atlanta in terms of like a certain amount of openness, certain amount of play. So it's really not that hard for me to believe that it actually gets a little more intense, because we've also seen, I don't mind saying, we've also seen some things in like, none of this was shocking to me. I'll just say it like that.
Yeah.
Given the dynamics we've seen between Tip and Tiny, between Tip and his daughter, you know, all that, none of this was shocking to me.
Yeah. None of us was like, what? It's like, yeah.
There's nothing about T.I. that says to me that he does not believe women are disposable.
Correct.
There you go. That's a good one. And on that note, we're gonna end this show. We're gonna end this show on that note. We will see you on next. Oh, I apologize. It's on me. I haven't posted the last couple shows on SoundCloud, and we begin some blowback. That's on me.
On Jeffrey.
That's on me. I will be posting previous shows on SoundCloud. I think I'll either do it tonight or tomorrow, and this show on SoundCloud from here moving forward. I actually didn't kind of realize how many people still listen to us on the cloud, but then I did realize that everybody doesn't have an iPhone. So, you know, you can't tap into iTunes and stuff as easily as on Android. So I will be putting the shows up. That's my fault. I apologize. A couple people hit me in the DMs and everything, like, yo, what's good with you? So I will fix that. And again, that's on me.
I think we learn, Jeffrey, every time one of the platforms lags, we hear about it. So I think at this point, we just need to accept that people listen on all platforms.
Just load them up. Just load them up and then let it go where it go. So on that note, everybody be safe out there. Wear your masks.
Please.
Two masks
even. Yes. I've been double masking myself.
And if you're going to get that anal swab,
oh God!
make sure you get some baby wipes before you go on over to the CVS.
Shout out to everybody who's starting to get your vaccines.
I was gonna say, get your vaccines. They're setting up those like mass vaccination points. If they got one in your city, go please, because they're wasting them waiting for people to come in some places. Through.
Yeah, this one actually, me and Nas neighborhood, is very cool, and that they haven't really publicized properly. So, I bet.
Oh yeah, the Washington Heights. The
Washington Heights
article about that. Nobody who lived in Washington Heights, because nobody
goes to that area, because that area is part
of, right by the hospital. Like, you really only go over there if you work in the hospital.
Or if you're like a medical student. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like the only reason you would go to that little section of.
Or if you're going for a track, because they do track.
Oh yeah, the armory's over there.
Is that the armory? The one.
Oh, it's in the armory.
Is that the armory?
Yes, where I voted.
But the other thing is, I live, let's say, three avenues, two blocks from the armory. It's like a 5-minute walk. I ain't seen no notice.
No
I ain't
signs,
got no letter. I ain't got no sign. The other thing about the Heights is that apparently a lot of the scheduling is via app on the phone. Oh. And a lot of people here still do not speak English. Like. Nope. I've lived in my building for almost a decade. My super don't even do broken English. That nigga don't do no English words, not none. Like, I'd be having to go to Google Translate from all the things. So and who knows how long he's been here before then? But it's like a lot of people here still do not speak English
because you don't have to.
So there's a huge language barrier. So if you're not doing active outreach to people to let them know,
they won't know.
They're not going to know, because a lot of people aren't thinking, like, I haven't even been thinking that I had the option to look at where I might get a vaccine, because I've been waiting for, like, my doctor to be like, all right, like, no normal niggas can come get your shit now. You know what I'm saying? So it's a fail, because they were saying that the people who are coming to get it aren't even from the boroughs. Motherfuckers
come from Westchester and Jersey.
And Jersey, because we're right by the bridge and we're right by the...
By Yonkers and all that. So people in the neighborhood, like I said, have no idea it even popping off. So, so get your vaccines if you can. I ain't going to say nothing about the anal swabs no more.
Please don't. I think you ran that joke
in
the ground.
I think you
told everybody.
I did. I absolutely ran it into the ground. I really did.
This is how we know you're an old nigga.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because I keep going. On that note, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.